Amen. Today we have another one of our pre-Lent Sundays. For those of us who follow the traditional and ancient calendar, Lent can never really sneak up on us. We are being reminded in a strong way by the purple vestments and the serious tone of these Sundays that Lent is on the way. On the first Sunday of these pre-Lenten Sundays, there was a Roman station, just like there is today, Roman station. There will be Roman stations for every single day during Lent, and there will be one next week as well for Quinquagesima Sunday. These pre-Lenten days in the ancient church were times when prospective converts were starting to hear what they were going to get into. So it's appropriate that the first of the pre-Lent stations took place last week at St. Lawrence outside the walls. And St. Lawrence outside the walls, of course, is dedicated to a great saint who was burned alive on an iron grate. Today's Mass is celebrated at St. Paul's outside the walls, near to the place where St. Paul was beheaded. Next week, the station is at St. Peter's, next to where the ancient Circus of Caligula was, where St. Peter was crucified. So prospective converts, knowing what these places are, and here listening to the stern and serious tone of the orations, and of, for example, today's reading from St. Paul, have got to be thinking, what on earth am I getting myself into? This is going to take maybe a little more effort than I thought. And indeed, that's the point that I want to make today. We have today the parable of the seed and thrown out by the sower in four different places. And three of those different places, it doesn't do very well. Either the devil comes and eats it up in the form of the symbolically of the birds, or the thorns are like the pleasures of this world or the cares of this world, what, choke it off, or maybe the heat of the day when it springs up because the soil isn't deep enough burns up the plants and they can't survive. All of these are symbolic of different spiritual conditions. And the Lord goes back and he describes what they are. And then there are those seeds which fall on good land, on good terrain. And they bear 100-fold the fruit that they're intended to have. Now, one of the things about parallels is that they will have a twist in them. There's something that just is odd about the story, about the whole scenario in itself. And one might ask, well, you know, if the sower is going out there to sow seeds, why is he throwing it just anywhere? Why does he throw it on rocks? Why does he throw it on land that he doesn't know is good? I mean, you know, if you're planting a garden, you don't go around and put seed on the sidewalk or someplace where you know it's not going to grow. You try to put it on good land, right? So what's up with this sower? Well, what we have here is the lavish abundance of God and his grace and his gifts to us. No one is excluded from the opportunity of being able to have that seed take root in them and bear much fruit. But that means that really there's our part that we have to play in it too. We have to make sure that we are the terrain that's good. If we are living a life that makes us into rocky terrain, if we're living a life that makes us full of thorns that choke off the graces God wants to give, if we're living in a certain way that the heat of the day doesn't allow anything to take root in us, well, that's our fault, not God's. Anybody who has had a little bit of a garden or anything like that knows you have to go out there and you have to dig a little bit, you have to prepare the soil. If you really want something to grow and you're serious about it, You get out there and you work in the garden and you make sure that the terrain is good. Well, Paul, at the end of his reading, talks about, well, you know, the Lord, he says, what is this seed? They ask him, what does this mean? And he says, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. And of course, the Lord himself is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. He is the Word. He's giving himself, the sower is giving himself to us. And Paul, when he goes on, he gets down to the end of this reading where he's talking about all these dire things that he's been through, all these incredible things of these sufferings, the way he's been beaten and imprisoned and shipwrecked and all the dangers that he's been in and so forth. Well, you know, remember, the prospective Christians are hearing this, right? They're hearing what Paul has been through out at the place where he was beheaded. You know, what are we getting ourselves into? Well, we're getting ourselves into something that's going to cost us. It's going to cost us something to have the Word of God in us so that it can take root and bear fruit. It will cost you. I've had occasion lately to think about the way that after David took up a census against the will of God, he took up a census for his own reasons. He was thinking about expanding his own power. So he takes up a census to see how many men there are of military age that he can put to use in maybe a little conquest. And God didn't like this. And so God sends the prophet to say, okay, pick your punishment. Either you can be afflicted by falling into the hands of your enemies, or there will be a plague that will slay thousands of the people. And David, caught between a rock and a hard spot, picks the plague because he trusts that God handling the plague will be a better fate than to fall into the hands of man. So in picking his punishment, he's even though it falls on the people, he's nevertheless learned to rely again on God. And then he sees, after many, many thousands are slain by the sword carried by the angel bearing the plague, he sees the angel coming for Jerusalem and he begs God to take it away. And the prophet comes and tells him to go up onto the hill, go up onto Mount Moriah, go up to where the threshing floor is of Arauna and build there an altar. And so David goes up to build an altar at the threshing floor of Arauna on Mount Moriah. And the Arauna sees him coming and he says, I'll give you the land and I'll give you my oxen for the sacrifice and I'll give you all of the furniture for the oxen and all the yokes and everything so that you can build the fire. I'll give it all to you, my king. And David refuses to take it. He says, I'll pay for everything because what I must give to the Lord must not cost me nothing. It has to cost me. It has to cost. And so that's where he builds the altar. And of course, that was the place where Abraham had taken Isaac to sacrifice him on the same mount. And that's eventually where the temple would be built by David's son Solomon. And the threshing floor is still there underneath. The Word of God is being scattered upon us all the time. Liturgically speaking, I'll give you a hint. God sows the Word in us every single week, and we have to prepare to receive the Word of God. Here's a little hint for your spiritual life. For a few days before, maybe say from Thursday before Sunday, start looking at the readings, start looking at the prayers, so that when you come into church, it doesn't surprise you. Instead, you've prepared your terrain to receive well the Word of God, to receive well what God wants to give you through the rites of Holy Church. And then afterwards, just as you have sown had the seed sown, you need to water it a little bit and give it some nourishment and so forth. Then maybe on Sunday night, go back and pick up that beautiful hand missile or pick up the resources you have and review what it was that you heard on Sunday. And then do it again on Monday, and do it again on Tuesday, and do it again on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, turn your mind to next week and start previewing. Preview and review is like preparing the soil to receive the seed and then watering and nourishing it afterwards so that you can reach out for that seed and truly bring it in so that the Word of God is truly taking root in you so that when it's time for something to cost you and cost you big, you're ready for it. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.